The Lord be with you.
With your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When the Pharisees with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed, the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" He responded, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'The people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts.' You disregard God's commandment, but cling to human tradition." He summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from the outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defile. From within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile." The Gospel of the Lord. A couple of weeks ago, I went to my car dealer, which is Dick Guide Honda, to have my 50,000-mile checkup, the new oil, new this, that, and the other thing. And as I was checking out, and this always happens, they say, "You'll be getting a survey." And it's always from 1 to 5. And they say, "We don't like numbers lower than 5. And I'm thinking to myself, "Well, give me $5, I'll give you 5. But they always say that. And then just past week, I went to Mavis to get new tires. And what do I get in my email box but another survey, this time from 1 to 10. How likely are you to recommend Mavis to your friends on a scale of 1 to 10? Another survey. And then, of course, we all know in the last month or so, we've had a survey about mass times and mass locations. Survey, survey, survey. Well, here's my question to you. How many of you have ever received a survey from God? None of us, and we're never going to get one. Evangelicals put it this way, and we agree. They just use it more often. They say, "God is sovereign. God is sovereign." And basically what that means is that he's not going to be held accountable by us. You know, he's independent. We have no business trying to tell him X, Y, Z, this is good, that's bad, we want change. He's totally independent. He's sovereign. I think it's a good way. It's good news because, especially in these times of turmoil, and I guess you could say, has the world ever not been in turmoil? But especially today when you have COVID, you've got Afghanistan, you've got fires out west. It's kind of like, what's going on? And I think it's a good thing to remember, God is sovereign. He doesn't ask us to tell him what to do. He tells us what to do. It's a one-way street in that case. And yet, how often do we say to God, "Well, God, how about doing this? How about doing that?" As if God doesn't know. As if God doesn't know what is necessary and that he's already doing it. Maybe not in the way that we think it should be done, but he is doing it. God is sovereign. We need to remember that. Moses talks about that when it comes to the commandments. He says, don't add anything. Don't subtract anything. I mean, do you get that? Well, the Israelites didn't get it, did they? And we still don't get it. We want to, you know, fudge it a little bit here. We want to say, well, you didn't really mean it that way, God, did you? Well, don't add and don't subtract. And then James talks about God. There's no alteration or change in God. There isn't. We change for the good, for the worse, but God doesn't. He is absolutely sovereign. He is perfect, complete. He doesn't need us. He is sovereign. And so again, we need to listen to James when he says, you know, there's no shadow of change in God. So we as human beings have to ask ourselves, what are we chasing? What are we following? Are we following our own willfulness? Are we doing things our way? And certainly the Pharisees added things to the law, human things, which were not necessary. But Jesus is saying to them, not only do you add these little human traditions, but you're not following the commandments properly. The same commandments that Moses was given by God to give to the people, the same commandments, very clear, no doubt about what God wants for all of us to do. And it's the same today. There's no change in God's commandments. There's no change in God. There's no waffling in God or God giving us a survey, say, how well am I doing? No, we're the ones that have to say to God, how well am I doing? And be ready for some good feedback that says, well, you know, you've kind of given into the way of the world. What's down here as opposed to what's there all around us in God, which is unchangeable because God is sovereign. And if we look at the world today, again, as I say, there's a lot of discouragement, despair, depression, so forth and so on. People want to know, well, what am I supposed to do? How do I get through it? Well, number one, remember, God is sovereign. He started it. He's going to end it all. He gave us his commandments. He has given us the church. It's not just some human institution, but a divine institution which has been given to us by God so that we know the path. And if we just stay on that path, not only will we understand really that God's ways are implanted in us and we want them too, but we're going to show to the world what this God is all about. And again, Moses talks about that. He says, isn't this wonderful? Out of all the peoples of the earth, you Israelites, have this God who has given you all these commandments so that you know what to do. So there's no doubt. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to have a vote. You don't have to put out a survey. Who thinks we should do this? Who thinks we should do that? No. That wasn't the way of God in the Old Testament. That's not the way of God in the New Testament. And yet we live in a world where everybody has opinions and ideas. And, of course, we often hear, well, that was 2,000 years ago. They didn't know this, that, or the other thing. God did. God did. But again, we want to bring it down to an earthly way of doing things. And so what happens? Well, look at the world. What's going on? Look at the hatred, the injustice. Our psalm talks about be just. Do we live in a world where there is real justice, where we in this room are acting fully and completely just each and every day? Because that's God's commandment. And if we focused on fulfilling those commandments and truly living them, we're going to see with clarity the path God has laid out to us, and we'll be able to attract other people because they're going to see us not wandering this way, not wandering that way, not having this opinion one day, having this opinion another, and trying to reason it out with human thinking, but rather we're going to know clearly what it's all about because God has already given to us what we need to know. There's nothing new under the sun. There's no new commandments coming at us. They're not going to be changed. God is not going to be changed, and we are called to do the will of God as he has given it to us. So the more we do that, the more we're going to be acting justly. We're going to be showing other people that it's not about show, but it's about really giving our lives to God and to our brothers and sisters. And isn't that what Jesus did? He didn't say, Father, I don't like this particular law, therefore, or I would like you to do something else, but rather he said, your will be done. Whatever you want me to do. Now that's God the Son who knew everything. But he is still showing to us that it's not about me and my very narrow thinking, or as people lately have been talking about, the silos that we build around ourselves to kind of protect ourselves maybe from God, or to keep us in our own little protected environment so we don't have to deal with the world, but rather we're given this information so that we can powerfully get out into the world and make changes that God wants, that God has commanded us to do. And it's not snap easy. It's something we have to work at. But as I said before, God has given us the church as his, let's say, foundation, or the stabilizing force in our world, so that we always have this touchstone, so that when we get queasy or when we get unsure of ourselves, we know where to turn. We know what the law is. And the law is a good thing. You know, that'd be laws, this, that, and the other thing. The law is a good thing because it helps prevent us from going the wrong way, hurting ourselves, and hurting other people. That's what the law is for. It's not there to punish us. It's rather to say, this is the way. And it's not about not doing so much as it is about doing, basically loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves. It's really very, very clear. It's very, very simple. But as human beings, and I've said this again and again, the Bible is our story. We see all these wonderful human beings who start out very gung-ho, full of energy. Then they start wandering and bad things happen. They have to come back to the Lord and seek forgiveness. That's our story. God knows that. And he doesn't abandon us in our story. But rather, not only did he walk the walk ahead of us, he continues to walk with us as we walk through the journey. And I know to the day I die, I'm going to be telling God what to do. I'm going to be shaking my finger. I'm going to say, God, you know, if you only did this or did that. And I'm sure God's just smiling and thinking, Mike, I'm never going to give you a survey. You don't have a vote, so get over it. But then in my calmer, wiser moments, I think, God, you know. You know what's true. You're the way. You are sovereign. I'm not going to get you to do my will, but rather it's up to me to do your will. And again, as I always say, it's not just about me as one person walking the walk, but it's about all of us together, reminding one another that we have this wonderful God, again, as Moses said, who loved us so much that he's given us these commandments so we know what to do. We don't have to worry or figure it out. And to celebrate with one another when we do well at it. God wants us to celebrate when we do good. He doesn't say, oh, you know, be this humble. Oh, no, no, no. No, celebrate it. So that other people say, what are you celebrating? Well, you know, I went further than I thought I could do. I gave 20% of my income this year. Wow, that's great. I'm going to try it. We need to celebrate it. And we need to encourage one another and correct one another. That's all part of the journey. To encourage and correct one another so that we can be better at being the disciples that God has created us to be. That's the only club to be part of. You know, we have other organizations, you have to pay your dues. If you don't pay your dues, you get kicked out. Well, the church isn't like that, fortunately. Otherwise, I think we'd all be kicked out long ago. But God has given us the church to say, this is one club where everybody's welcome. Here are the rules. And you do have to pay with your life. I mean, that's true. You do have to pay fully with your life. But here it's all laid out for us. We have a Messiah who showed us the way. And all we have to do is keep following in his footsteps each and every day. So that's the good news. It's great news. So in this world, when we encounter people who are going through hell because of illness, job loss, worry about what's going on in countries thousands of miles away, or family in California where it seems like everything's being burnt up. We have to come back to right here and say, God, you are. You are. You are fully, completely sovereign. You know everything. You're doing everything you need to do. All I have to do is follow faithfully. And when I stumble, you're there to help me back up. But as a community, we can do great things. But that's where we have to let go of our own ego, our own ways, our own opinions, and do it the way God wants us to do. So as you go forth today, and again, you're going to be encountering all this stuff. I certainly do. Some days I wake up and I'm very sad, discouraged, upset. But then I have to go back and say, well, God, you tell me what to do. And he does. And he says, all I expect you to do is what you know you're supposed to do. So do it and give the rest to me. So as the more we remember that good news, the more hopefully we're going to say, I can do a lot in my little ways, or maybe my great ways, who knows. But I can do it because you have shown me the way. And of course, the way, again, is God himself, Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life.